have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with the after show. I've got Mr. AJ Ramsey from Transworld. I got to look at my notes. I had it and then I lost it, AJ. Transworld Business Advisors of Eastern North Carolina. Welcome to the after show, AJ.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So how did you think it went the first part? Time fly, a lot of good info.
Yeah, it just zipped by. It was enjoyable talking about myself. What's not to like?
it's one of the things where, you know, it's fun as a podcast host because I just get to, you know, just set up some questions and then just go with the flow and have a conversation. And it's really fun to just let people talk about themselves and share so much. And, you know, I mentioned this in the first part of my observation bias about the brokers that I get to speak with, but you know, brokers like you that care about education, right? This is not a self-promotion podcast, although, you know, you could say it is, but it's really about educating and talking about experiences and, you know, the whole industry as a whole, that's just an unknown. And so it's just fun to do that. And then we took a little break. You're on a deal watch right now. Anyone who caught part one, you will know what that means because referenced it towards the end. So I won't spoil it. You have to go back and see that, but everything's good on that front. So we're going to rock and roll with the after show questions. So the first one, AJ, that I ask everybody is that if you think about business brokerage in 5 years from now, which was now 2031, which sounds crazy, what do you think business brokers, intermediaries will need to do to be, let's say, survive, just to survive in 5 years?
I do not think AI is going to replace what we do. Okay. I am confident enough that the skills that we do are more than just provide information, you know, but you're going to have to know how to use AI. I mean, you know, I'm using it more and more every day. I find it. It's amazing. It's my biggest limitation is sometimes I'm not creative enough to think about how to use it. But it is a helpful tool as long as A, you make sure you're not exposing your client's information, and B, you're verifying the information you're getting back because it makes sure it is relevant, right? I find a lot of times I have to reiterate. I have to ask, you know, I'll ask it a question and then another one and another one, another one to get to the point to where the answer is what I think it needs to be. But you're going to have to know AI, and I don't think it's going to replace us. You know, I think some of the fundamentals that we talked about, it is incumbent upon any broker to know their trade and know it well. And as more information is available online, you're going to have to do more work to make sure you are adding value. And that means you're going to have to understand the process. You're going to have to understand how to execute a deal. And you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to know how to interact with people. I have some college age kids and I tell them the number one skill you can learn that's going to separate you from everybody else in 20 years is how to communicate, how to have a face-to-face conversation with somebody and communicate. And I think that that's a real detriment to what's going on now is that I was having lunch with a couple of attorneys last week and they were talking about how their junior attorneys, were wanting to do stuff online, you know, instead of calling them up. And they're like, no. This is the job. You talk to them, right? You just don't send them an email or, you know, so that's going to be a skill set that people have to continue to work on. If you don't have it now, or you're not getting it, you know, in your early training, for old people like me, you know, I didn't grow up with a crutch of all digital communications. And that serves me well with the clients I work because most of them are older than I am. They're retiring business owners, but even 5 years from now, it's going to be the same conversations. Like we had talked a little bit earlier, you know, people hire you for not just your knowledge, but the fact that you can come in and help control the situation. You can calm it down. You're the voice of reason. You know, you have the experience to go through stuff. You know, you can't get that off of a screen. So, you know, it's going to change. Technology is definitely going to change. And I think you know, AI is one of those things that's going to iterate, and the change is going to get faster. I can't even imagine what AI is going to be like in 5 years. You know, maybe it is the Terminator movie and it's going to take over the world. I don't know. I don't think so. But I do think there's going to be a place for me and my knowledge and the way I process stuff and the way I handle the situation, which is not a black and white, you know, knowledge-based thing. It's more the soft skills. You're going to have to get good at those.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so interesting, you know, you saying that, and anyone who's listening to the show, it generally comes up in this, and then the next question is about technology, which was essentially covered with the AI part, but where, like, the main role of the intermediary is, it's the transactional part, but it's just keeping everyone moving forward and managing the humans and the relationships and the emotions and the stuff that we talked about in the previous episode. And then to hear you talk about, and it's obviously it's an overgeneralization to say like a whole generation or multiple generations will struggle with this, but it is a common thing that now with the technology that, you know, younger generations are essentially born with or have access to from day one, even millennials with computers and internet from early on versus, you know, again, guys like you and I who did not have internet and did not have a home computer growing up, you know, until a certain point, where that does change that dynamic where people want to resolve conflict via text or email. And it's a text and email is a terrible communication platform. It's not meant for that. So when you try to do that, it doesn't work well. It needs to be a phone call. It needs to be face-to-face, something like that. And those interpersonal skills and what I've said forever, back from when I was leading teams, is that with technology will fill in all the gaps where the only thing left is the human to human, right? It's the human interactions, the conversations, the emotions, the relationships. Like that's basically what's left if you do technology well, is the rest of it. And, you know, it's fascinating to think about that and where that's really going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I have no ability to really understand where it's going to be, you know, but it's interesting to read, you know, some of the futurists and stuff out there talking about where potentially it could go. It is amazing. So it's incumbent upon all of us to keep up with it. But technology just in general, I mean, it definitely is a transformer. And I mean, just you start thinking about things like CRM systems or data rooms or those, you know, DocuSign, we were talking about the other, you know, a while ago about, I've got an actual hard closing going on right now where people are meeting in a lawyer's office and signing papers, and how rarely that happens anymore. Almost all of it's done digitally now. And that's a great ease. I mean, you know, I am sitting here in my office in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I do business all around North Carolina. And for the most part, you know, I tell my clients, it's like, look, you don't want me showing up because you don't want your clients and your customers and your employees to know about what's going on. I typically try to go meet them face to face, you know, tour the property, but then most everything else I can do digitally, right? I can do it. Yeah. I can do it online from my home office. And I don't need to be there, which is good. You know, I think it's good for the process, but you know, and I can stay pretty well connected. So technology has definitely made things easier. I mean, and going back to AI, I mean, you know, I pride myself on having a pretty good history and background in the industries I serve, but there's still some things, you know, if I don't understand it, or if they make a term or I see something, you know, I'll go in AI, what does this mean? Or give me more background about this type of information, or what are the, you know, the key indicators that I should look for. You know, so it is a great technology is a great, tool, but it's a tool, right?
Yeah. So on that note, you said something early on when you were answering this question about you use AI, you're getting better at it, but you're not creative. You don't always know what to do. Two things I've learned, maybe this will help you and anyone in the audience. One is you can ask AI how you can use it better. Like, what should I do? How could I use you better? What are some ways? Like, it's like the ultimate business coach that you can ask, like, okay, what am I missing? What could I be doing better? Or, you know, how do I utilize you more, right? That's one. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, because I'm also that way, I'm also like a late adopter generally. Like, I have some friends who are early adopters. And so whenever I chat with them, they're always telling me what they're using and how many things they've tried. And that's how I actually get my info. But I've learned over the years, the best thing I do is I'll just literally go into YouTube and I'll search, you know, top AI whatever. And then there's a bunch of people out there who will make videos of like the top 8 apps or the top 20 things you can do. And not for business brokers, not specifically for anything in general, like any specific use case, just how to do it. And if you watch a couple of those, you'll get some good tips and like ideas. So, you know, leverage that if you're like me, it sounds like you are
great,
as well.
Great suggestions.
Like, not on the edge. I don't care enough to consume it. I'm not listening to it all the time. I'm not reading it. I don't care to invest a lot of time into like finding things. So, you know, how do you create leverage?
Well, I'm like you. I mean, I'm fortunate. We have somebody on our team who's a very much leading edge kind of tech guy. He loves it. Right.
Yeah.
So he's cutting down the weeds for a lot of us. I'm not a laggard, but you know, it's just not, you know, it's just, he just enjoys it and it's good for, you know, he'll come because you should try this, you should try that.
Yeah.
You know, there's always exciting tips, but the two you just mentioned, I think those are great as well. Just ask it, number one.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's a great thing. There's a video about everything these days.
There is. There's a video and it's all out there. So next question, if we look at last year, so 2025, what was, let's say, the biggest lesson for you in 2025?
Patience. Again, I say this business teaches, I think that's probably the biggest thing this business has taught me is patience. You know, last year going in, first of last year, we thought it was going to be a really good year. Start off really good. And then we hit Q2 and things just kind of flattened out, you know? So it was, you know, like, you know, I hate to keep saying this, but I work with retiring business owners, you know, and a lot of, I mean, I sold a business for a gentleman who turned 82 in the middle of when we finished up the deal. And he was an electrical contractor, had a really good business, went to work every day, watched the vans roll out, you know, at 6:30 in the morning. His kids were like, you've got to sell the business. You know, you got to sell the business. But these guys, I mean, they've been in for decades, you know, COVID, they tend to, entrepreneurs, it seems like I deal with, tend to want to work more than they want to retire. You know, they're wrapped around the business because they've had it for decades or whatever, and they just can't see themselves without the business. That's one thing. They kind of let it go, and then COVID hit, you know, and so then they had to, some of them took on debt because of COVID. Some, you know, they were all affected by it in some way. So they kind of rebuilt things, and then they were feeling a little bit better. Once we got past the election, I don't think they really cared so much about who won, but just the fact that we were by it and we understood it. And that's why going into last year, they were really optimistic. They were ready to sell. I was getting a lot of inquiries for people that wanted to sell their businesses. And then everything, the chop started and everything just flattened out for like 2 semesters, probably. By the end of last year, it was looking a little bit better. You know, and it rolled into this year. I mean, a lot of what I'm doing this year was stuff I would have thought I would have done probably 6 months ago. It hasn't really stopped things, but it definitely slowed it down. And we're to that point again. I mean, this year we kind of thought, well, maybe things have stabilized, interest rates, you know, those sorts of things. Now we're kind of going sideways again. But these guys, a lot of them, and again, I apologize for using guys, but these owners they're at the point to where some of them, it's time to sell. That silver tsunami is here. The 15,000 you know, businesses that are closing down every day is real. Now, I don't think we've seen as much as we thought we would have because of some of these things of delaying the sales cycle because of the economy and COVID and those sorts of things. But they're out there. They've got to transact. These owners are not getting any younger. And for all of us that are in the business, that's good news, right? They're good businesses. Yeah. They're good people to work with, and you know, we can help them live, the businesses live on, which is what we need to do.
That's great. So let's call it May. It's almost May when we're recording this, 2026. So we're obviously a quarter plus into the year. I would normally ask, what are you excited about this year? You can't use any of that you just said, but like from a planning perspective or, you know, also momentum, but strategies, the team, yourself, obviously being the president of the CVBBA is pretty exciting. You know, what would you put on that list for this year? If you're listening to this and thinking, I need this level of authority, I just don't have time to build it. That's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. That's what we do here. We build that whole thing for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and the authority signals, everything we've talked about here on the podcast. So if you want to add impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it could look like for your business.
I am the busiest I've ever been, and my fun was the strongest it's ever been, right? So part of that, I think, you know, I go to like M&A Source and some of these older guys that have been doing deals for a long time. I think the engine kind of, I don't know how long it takes. We mentioned I'm in this for 7 years. I'm starting to get referrals from past customers. I'm starting to get, you know, people coming and knocking on my door, which was a change, which I certainly didn't have the first few years, right? So, you know, that's been good. It's fortuitous. I don't know if it's, like I said, I don't know if it's market timing with the silver tsunami. I don't know if it's, you know, I'm getting credit for some past things. I've done good karma and then the stuff comes back around. Or if it's just a timing issue that things slid out last year and this year. But like I said, you know, I'm very bullish about this year and next year, just as already getting stuff. I know it's going to, I can't close this year because the deal cycles are, they're large enough businesses that will slide into next year. So I'll go into next year the way it's looking now very strong. So knock on wood, unless the wheels really fall off of the economy, which that never really happens. Things may slow down, but these businesses have got to be sold. And, you know, we're all here standing here. We should be able to hop on that.
Yeah. It's funny because as you're talking, two things come to mind. One is the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's you, right? Like both the 7 years and then everything you have going on. And then the other part is if you want something done, give it to a busy person because then they'll handle it. And I'm just thinking of like what you've done to yourself and put yourself both with the 7 years, but also taking on, you know, an active role with an association and leading that and then doing meetings and just being out there. And it's interesting how that energy and busyness, not as a direct funnel, but just like as an overall thing, just creates this own force. It's like, you know, if you want to get out of a funk, just get up and start doing stuff. And then like more things will start happening. And, you know, it's timing as well. But it feels like that's kind of where you've gotten yourself to is that moment that, you know, things are busy and fun, hopefully fun, busy and good, busy.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, this business is, you know, ups and downs, right? I'm one of those people that's like, I get all fired up and then something will happen. It's like, you know, and then, and then something, you know, doesn't wait too long. Something else, some good news comes through the door. But it is, you gotta just keep your head down and be steady. You know, and it's a tough business, right? You gotta be closing deals to get paid, but you gotta be doing the upfront work, filling your funnel so you have them. You know, it's tough. It's tough juggling all those balls, but you eventually kind of get better at trying to understand where you need to be focused at, and then there's always more hours in the day.
Well, perfect transition to the final question, talking about marketing stuff. If you had a magic wand and could have one marketing, you know, related activity done for you automatically that you would never have to do again, what would you put on that list?
Just bandwidth. The hell, I mean, and I do. I actually have a virtual assistant I'm just trying to work with because there's, you know, I have a background. I've done some sales and marketing stuff, so I know what needs to be done. I mean, self-promotion is a bad way to say it, but you just need to, you know, you need to be in front of people getting your brand out there. And I struggle with that. I mean, I'm doing the tactical stuff and trying to get deals pushed through. So it's hard to sit down and write a blog or write an article or do those sorts of things. Yeah. Or even if I would do it, then to promote it correctly. Right. You know, you know, and all those things. So it's just having that and digital marketing changes so fast. Right. You need to stay on top of it. So I'm very much about having a specialist help out with that. I mean, all you marketing people, it's a great service because, you know, as someone who likes marketing and has done a lot of it, I don't have time to do it now. If I'm going to be on the other end of executing deals, I've got to be smart about my time and I've got to outsource some of that. And that's just a reality.
Yeah.
So it's a good investment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you from our side, like all the people have been the most successful helping and working with, especially as clients, it's the ones that understand marketing. When the marketing is so foreign, then it doesn't seem like a good investment, or it's not something that wants to be done. It's like you want to have that understanding, and then you know like what it's doing for you. But it sounds like fundamentally we need just to figure out some kind of way to stop the sand dripping through like the time clock, right? Like some way to just hold time for you so you can get more done.
I mean, well, it's one of the frustrations about marketing is it can be a lot of fun, but it can also be very hard to get an ROI on what you're doing. You just kind of got to trust the system. And to your point, you got to, it's slow and steady. You got to keep beating the drum, right? You got to tell people, and you're going to have to tell them again. And you're going to, you know, it's because people, we talked about this earlier, have short attention spans and a lot of stuff, you know, vying for their time. So you got to be very deliberate about it, you know, and you got to find a way to do it.
Yeah. I heard a quote. It's loosely, people will remember you the first time after the 11th time. It's basically that, right? Like,
that one,
like,
I hadn't heard that, but yeah.
Hey, yeah. Like, you know, it's like, oh yeah. Like they'll finally see something, but it's like the 11th time they've seen it.
It's the overnight success, like, after 30 years, right?
Yeah. Overnight success. And you know, it's always fun about those overnight success stories, like when you really peel it away. So, well, AJ, I appreciate all of this in the after show and the insights and kind of, you know, I won't hold you to the forecasting and future telling that you did, but it'll be interesting to see, like as you were talking about, I'm thinking like in 5 years from now, I'm excited to come back to these episodes and those parts and see, you know, which ones have evolved, or, you know, is it Terminator mode in Skynet or the Matrix and like we've just already lost, or, you know, is it really just about humans and communication and relationships? So I'm excited for that. For people tuning in, if they want to find out more, obviously check out part one, because it was a good long conversation we had of a wide range of things. But your links will be in the show notes. I know they can go to transworldeast.com for you, AJ Ramsey on LinkedIn. Your email will be in the show notes. They can find whatever they need. Obviously the CVBBA, we'll have that link in there as well. But AJ, again, thank you for this bonus time, especially with the closing going on. Hopefully this was a good distraction so that you can let that all just happen like it's supposed to and not be, you know, watching the email or the messages and wondering. So I appreciate you being here, and I'm glad that you could spend the time with us.
Well, thank you, Jason. It's been an enjoyable event. Thank you so much.
Of course. And for everyone tuning in, always appreciate the support. Love when people share these and then also interact with AJ. You know, we always love hearing messages and hearing what value people get from this. It really helps. And as always, until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.